Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles will stand for the reading of the Word of God. Verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sorry, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And the Lord willing, I'm going to preach for a few minutes on the Christian home. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to be together in the house of God again. I appreciate your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the truths that we have heard in song this morning. Thank you for the assembly of your people. Pray this morning, Lord, that you would bless your body, edify the body of Jesus. I pray this morning, Lord, that if there's a soul here outside of the body of Christ, outside the ark of safety, this would be the day they'd make their way through the door of Jesus Christ and come into the safety, the church of Jesus Christ. And we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Christian home is distinctive in its character. Christian families stand out among the families of the world. There is a difference in a Christian home than in any other home. There are many homes that function very well outside of Christ. Homes that people worship other gods. They stay together all of their life. They make it work. But there is something distinctive about a Christian home, a Christian family. Different from any other family in all of the world. Different from the families of the heathens. Different from the families of the world. There's something different about a Christian home. And I want to tell you about those differences. First of all, that there's a difference in our relationship to Christ. Secondly, there's a difference in our relationship to each other. First of all, a Christian home is Christian because of their relationship to Jesus Christ. If there's not a relationship to Jesus Christ, it isn't a Christian home. It doesn't matter how many Christian principles they follow. It doesn't matter how moral they may be. If there's not a relationship with Jesus Christ, it isn't a Christian home. A Christian family, a Christian home is Christian because Christ lives in that home. And not only lives in that home, but Christ is the Lord of that home. That's what makes a Christian home a Christian home. That's what makes a Christian family a Christian family, is Jesus lives there. Jesus is the Lord of that home and family. First of all, Christ is known by that family. Not just known about, Christ is known in that home. He's part of that family. He's well known by that family. He's not just somebody we talk about, but we don't know. Christ is known in a Christian home. Are y'all going to stay with me this morning? I'm going to preach to you a little while. I hope you'll stay with me here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, it's important. It's critical. This is the foundation of the church. It's really the foundation of a strong nation, is that we have Christian homes. homes where Christ is known. He's not just talked about. He's known. There's a personal relationship with Christ in that family. Jesus prayed in John 17 and said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." This is life eternal. A Christian home is a home where eternal life is in that home and in that family. Christ is known in that place. The knowledge of Christ is valued. The knowledge of Christ is taught. The knowledge of Christ is instructed in that home. It's not just a matter of you can do this and you can't do that. You can do this and you can't do that. But Christ is the Lord of that home. Christ is taught. The value of the knowledge of Christ is esteemed in that family. Now there's a lot of do's and don'ts that go along with that. But brother, you can have do's and don'ts in a home and know nothing about Jesus. A Christian family is a family that values the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Passes that knowledge from mother and father to those children. And it isn't enough for that mother and father that their children know about Jesus. They pray. They intercede. They seek God. They try to influence those children to a personal, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that in a Christian home and a Christian family, it's not enough for a father and a mother to know that their children are doing well in the world. It's not enough. They're not comforted by the fact that they've got a fine job, that they know the governor, that they're acquainted with the mayor, that they're friends on a first-name basis with the banker. That don't comfort their hearts if they're outside of Jesus Christ. And the main thing to that Christian father and that Christian mother is that those children know Jesus Christ for themselves. So that mother and father carefully cultivates a relationship with Jesus Christ in that home and family. They are so concerned that little Johnny and little Susie grow up to know Him. Hallelujah. They have a personal relationship with Him. That they don't try to get into heaven on mom and dad's coattails. They don't claim, you know, their place in the kingdom because mom and daddy were saved. They know that they've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus because God has only sons and daughters. He does no grandchildren. Y'all hang around a little while. If you can, hold on. Amen. Christ is known in a Christian home. In a Christian home, Christ is imitated. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. In a Christian family, Christ is not only known, Christ is imitated. He's the pattern. He's the standard. Hallelujah. Brother, none of us as Christians are ever satisfied with just what we've attained to. We're all looking at a standard that we are striving for. And His name is Jesus Christ. He is the standard for our homes, the standard for our families. And we're always striving to attain to that standard of Jesus Christ. And there's never a point that we can stop and say, okay, my home's fine, my family's all right, we've attained to this place. And there's a standard for you, brother. There's a standard for you, sister. And we're striving to be like Jesus. Christ is imitated in a Christian home. He's imitated. Well, maybe I'll get to this later. Thirdly, in our relationship to Jesus Christ, Christ is trusted in a Christian home and family. He's trusted in time of sickness. We don't just grumble and complain. Hey, I'm sick. I'm feeling bad. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. And so all I do is talk about my problems. But I'm telling you that in a Christian family, there's a trust in Jesus Christ. We don't just talk about our problems. We talk about our problem solver. We don't just talk about the troubles we go through. We talk about one who bears our burdens. Woo, hallelujah. We talk about one that we can cast our cares upon because He cares for us. You know, there's some people you dare not ask them how you're doing unless you've got a long time to stand there. You don't dare ask them. But, oh, that person that's trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who takes their burdens to Jesus, who cries out to Him in their time of need, that home, that Christian home, is a home of prayer. Brother, I've heard people testify who were raised in families that were nominally Christian. I have never heard or seen my mother or my father pray. Is this a Christian home where nobody ever prays? We're taught to pray by Jesus, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, glory to God. It is the purpose of every Christian home to hallow the name of the Lord. Honor the name of the Lord in that home. Glorify the name of Jesus in that home. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Every Christian home's concerned that the will of God be done in that home, just like it's done in heaven. A home of prayer. Christian home's a home of prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And that those children need to know that our daily bread is a gift from God. We pray over our food to thank God because every meal is a gift from God. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgiveness is asked in a Christian home, a Christian family. Forgiveness is asked and offered. Because we pray, forgive us our debts even as we forgive our debtors. Your home, brother, will operate so much more smoothly if you're asking for forgiveness and you are granting forgiveness. I hate to make y'all feel so bad, but at least you're looking that way. One man said, the 12 hardest words for any man to say is, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I love you. 12 hardest words for any man to say. Should be pretty common words in a Christian home. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And I love you. You know, that just sounds really simple. But it works. It really works. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for our debts as we offer the same thing to that wife, that husband, even the children. You can't hold grudges against your children. Children are going to disappoint you.
They're going to hurt you. They're going to walk on your feet when they're little and walk on your heart when they get old. And you, listen to me, there have been parents that died with bitter hearts against their children. And children that died with bitter hearts against their parents. A Christian home is a home where forgiveness is asked and forgiveness is granted.
If you don't ever need forgiveness, you're under no obligation to offer it.
But the truth is, you need it.
And because you need it, you must offer it. Forgive us as we forgive. And then we petition in a Christian home. I'm talking about our relationship to Christ now. In a Christian home, we petition for purity. Lead us not into temptation. So I don't pray that prayer and sit down to the late night show. Lead us not into temptation. So I don't pray that prayer and go marching down to the beach in the middle of the summer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So that Christian home is a home that petitions for purity. There is a hunger for holiness. There's a desire for purity. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the Christian home. This is the Christian family. Christ is trusted. Christ is promoted in that Christian home and family. You know, one reason why Israel was rejected by God, God never intended for the knowledge of Himself to be shut up in the nation of Israel. He intended for Israel to be a light to the nations. And when they failed to be a light to the nations, God took away their light and gave it to the church. You know what happens in a family that decides, me, my four, and I could care less if there are no more? You know what happens? The light is lost in that family that decides, me and my four, and I could care less if there are no more. Same judgment that fell on Israel will fall on your home. You understand, brother and sister, listen to me now. You understand what the purpose of the family is, don't you? I mean, the primary purpose of that family is to glorify God. The primary purpose of getting married and having children is that you are seeking to promote Jesus Christ in this world. And you're seeking not just do it by yourself, but you and your wife together are a team to promote Jesus. And then your children come along, and you and your husband and you and your wife and your children together are promoting Jesus Christ in the world. Oh, it's important that they get a good education. It's important that they get a good job. It's important that they be honorable in their community. All of those things are important, but don't overlook the main thing. I said, don't overlook the main thing. I told my children over and over again, I'm not raising you to sit on church pews and warm the church pew. I'm raising you for the kingdom of God. I'm training you to be a blessing to the world. I want you to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. You just got to be a promoter of Jesus Christ in the world.
So many people have watched their families go to hell because they were happy to see them prosper in the world without Christ.
Finally, the Christian home is set apart from every other home and every other family in its relationship to each other. The Christian home is marked by two things. First of all, love. Husbands, love your wives. The book of Titus, Paul said to the aged women, teach the younger women. Well, what are you going to teach them? Teach them this. Teach them to love their husbands. Teach them to love their children. That's what the aged women are to teach the younger women. Teach them to love their husbands. Teach them to love their children. Because that Christian family, that Christian home, is to be characterized by love. I'm telling you, divine love. Not a love that says, hey, I want to get everything out of you I can. But a love that says, I want to do everything good for you I can. A love that says, I'm willing to sacrifice my own comfort for yours. A love that says, life is not all about me. Life's not all about my happiness. Life is about you. I am called to love you, serve you, make you happy. Love marks the Christian family, the Christian home. Not strife. Y'all hang on here. Hold on. Do something. Not fussing. Not quarreling. Not picking fights. That's not Christian way to live. That's not a Christian family's characteristic. You know it's not. Y'all sort of like, some of you may be like my children, Kendall and Kyle. When they was little boys, Jimmy, they was out in the backyard fighting. And I went out there, yeah, that's before y'all moved there. I went out there in the backyard and I said, hey boys, stop this. There's a quarreling, a fussing, and a fighting out there in the backyard. And I said, y'all, stop this. We're Christians. So we don't act like this. Our neighbors, some of our neighbors are unbelievers. And they're going to look up here on this hill and say, why, those Christians behave just like we do. That's before y'all move there, Jimmy. Well, it didn't seem to affect them much. But really, are we Christians or are we not? And if we are, how should we behave? Like Christians or like them? You don't have to fuss. You don't have to quarrel. It takes two to do it. Right? It takes two to do it. You don't have to do it. You can demonstrate the love of God in your home. Children, you don't have to fight. You don't have to. Now, you may do it, but you don't have to. And the Lord will help you that you don't have to quarrel and fuss with brother and sister. And people that come around can sense there's peace in this family and that people love one another and that they live to bless one another. Moving on. Christian home is characterized by love. It's also characterized by truth. You remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said that from a child, thou hast known the Holy
scriptures which are able to save your soul. From a child. What is this? From a child you've known the scriptures. Because Paul said to him in another place, he said, I see that the same faith is in you that was in your grandmother and in your mother. I see that faith in you from a child. You've been taught the ways of God. From a child, you've been instructed in the truth in the Word of God. And you know, every child in your family, it ought to be able to be said about them, you have known the Holy Scriptures from a child. Not because you heard it in Sunday school, not because you heard it from the preacher, but because you heard it from mom and dad in that home. Was it John that said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth? My mother used to write me letters and she'd include that verse of Scripture. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Listen to me now. If truth is that important to you, Hollywood's not going to be important to you. You're going to guard that family from the lies of Hollywood. Not only the lies of Hollywood, but all of these preachers on Hollywood TV that's telling your children that once they get saved, all their troubles are over with, health, wealth, and blessings will multiply, and send them some seed money, and God's going to meet their needs and bless them and make them rich and give them a Cadillac and a house on a hill, a mansion on a hill. You'll guard them from that mess. I'm talking about when you value truth. When you value truth in your family, brother, you don't go down to the local... You know, I noticed they shut down this movie house here. I mean, this movie checkout place over here at the mall. I hope it was from lack of business. But anyway, it shut down. Or it may have moved. I don't know. But anyway, it's not there. But when you are concerned about truth, you don't bring things into your home to tear down the truth. You don't allow Hollywood to do it. You don't allow... Listen, you are careful and watch the friends of your children as well. And I remember my daddy telling me one time, you don't play with those children right there. I thought, Daddy don't know what he's talking. He's being unfair. He said, don't you play with them young'uns. You stay away from them young'uns. He knew what he was talking about. I think two of them are still in jail right now for killing a man. You see how critical it is that mom and dad have an eye for the truth. A concern for the truth. One day, Isaiah came to Hezekiah and he said, set your house in order. You are going to die and not live. Set your house in order. Now, I'm going to leave this with you. You don't know when that day is coming. Set your house in order. Daddy, get in that position God put you in. Guard that family. Guard those children. Guard that wife. Guard her soul. Guard the souls of those children. Make it a priority in your life. Make sure that there is a relationship with Christ Jesus in that home. You don't just talk about Jesus, you talk to Him and you listen to Him. And your family knows that Daddy is in touch with Christ. And every once in a while, Daddy comes and says, "Look, children, look, wife, there's something we need to sit down and talk about. The Lord has spoke to my heart that there's a danger here." Dads, have you ever done that? I remember one time I could see Satan working in my family. I didn't know what to do. I told my family, I said, "On Saturday morning, all plans are off. We're all going to the church. We're staying there till lunchtime. We're going to pray all morning." We came to the church about 8 o'clock that morning. We stayed here all morning in prayer. Now, I don't know how much praying the children did, but anyway, that's what we tried to do. And the Lord heard and answered prayer. So I'm saying to you this morning, set your house in order. We want to be known as Christians. Maybe you don't have a husband. Do what you can, Mama. I know that you're handicapped, but do what you can. Make Jesus the Lord of your life and the Lord of your home. Let's stand together.